Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. For those in New Zealand, if you wish to listen live, it's around about midday till 2 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. That's why we broadcast live from the future. We get to see the sun first, kind of like the Egyptian pharaohs. Now, my very special guest is Will Spencer. His website is bodyelectrician.com, and I believe he's kind of like the dude that attacks your body with wire strippers, like on the Saw movies or Hostel or something like that, isn't he? Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for asking me to be here, Vinny.
Could you tell us a little bit about what is bodyelectrician.com really about?
Well, our body is an electrical magnetic frequency generator. Everything we do is electricity. Our taste buds are electrical signals. Our ear listening ability is electrical signals. Our touch is electrical signals. Our digestion is electrical, believe it or not. Everything about us is electrical. And the new science of quantum physics and all this new epigenetics is all basically verifying this as well, as the old shamans knew all this with their vibrational music and drumming and so forth. Even the new medicines with the machines and Rife machines and so forth, it's all about electricity.
I believe that. Sometimes when my missus looks at me with a certain look in her eyes, I feel electrified.
Or the fry pan, when it smacks you up the head, there's an electrical signal there too. It says, ow.
Yeah. In fact, I've been getting those ow electrical signals a lot more recently. Okay. So, now that we understand this, the Matrix is real, ladies and gentlemen. You can be used as a power generator to power the machine. In fact, have you done an experiment as such, trying to hook somebody up as sort of like a 9-volt Vinny battery to try and power something, like one of those little monkeys that claps a cymbal together or something?
No, our energy is a much lower, a subtle energy than that. We were in the store called Spencer's, which has a lot of novelty gifts, and there was this wire that was just hanging there from a speaker for you to plug your iPod into or whatever, so you can listen to music through these speakers. So I did a little experiment. I just grabbed that thing and I focused energy out through my hand and I made the speaker squeal. Everyone in the store could hear it. And some other people, I said, you go try it. And hardly anybody could. A few other people got it to do it, but that's how much power we have. If your intention is to focus it out through your hand, you can actually make that happen. But the speakers are extremely sensitive to subtle energy. So it's not like you're going to power a machine, but you can actually register on the subtle energy scales. You can pick it up with I forget what they call them now, where you can actually pick up volts and amps and stuff like that.
A voltmeter or an ammeter.
Yeah, if you got a really sensitive one, you can actually pick up pushing it on different parts of your body. And actually get readings. So, and then also with your intention, like I intentionally, I've been doing this for a few years with a lot of practice, right? So you can actually create the direction of energy to go out through your hand into that wire that I grabbed onto the speaker to make it squeal like that.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the evil emperor of Star Wars with the lightning bolts coming out of his hands, you know? Like,
something, something, something dark side. Something, something, something complete.
Perfect Star Wars dialogue, you know?
May the power be with you.
I was just thinking about this recently, actually. Is the Force and the dark side actually based on reality? Is it possible for human beings to learn through extraordinary training and things of that nature, maybe to have certain abilities that may be similar to that?
I believe so, because we live in a relative universe. What's the opposite of the dark side? It's the light side. You can't have one without the other. And it's all about intention. It's the same energy that kills you as well as heals you. it's the same energy. It's all in the intention of the user. That's my belief. And I have friends that are in the martial arts from the Orient, and they actually teach you on some of I don't know the name of the art form, but they actually teach you to kill people because it's actually the same energy on how to heal people. It's all in the intention, and it's all in how you exhibit that intent, or you flow with that intention.
Well, if that's the case, then simply our intention in and of themselves, it creates energy, power, right?
Exactly.
So if your intention is to do bad, does that actually have an energetic effect maybe on people around you or maybe your pets or something of that nature?
Absolutely. And there was a scientist from China, I forget the guy's name, is about water, is it Myodo or something, and where they put the intention into water where you're intending to do evil or negative, and then they froze the water, they looked at the crystals, and then they put the intention of love and peace and harmony and healing into water, and then they compared the frozen crystals, and there was a significant difference in the structure of the crystals when after they were frozen from the water. The love and healing and the positive intentions in the water, the crystals looked extremely beautiful, and the geometry was really pretty and crystalline and bright colored. And the other water that had the negative evil, if you want to call it evil, intentions into it, or disharmony, they were formed all really disformed, colored, darker colored. There was a significant difference. That's all with just your thought or your intention. So there's a tangible result to that. You walk into a room, sometimes you ever feel like you almost repelled from a certain person or a group of people, and you're all of a sudden you can feel magnetically drawn over here. I need to go talk to this person or this group. It's the same difference. We're just like the positive and negative of a magnet. We have the same capabilities.
Now, I was just thinking about this. I was talking with my friend Dan and his Mrs. Tiff last night about the intention behind my show. It's not to wake people up. Okay, I don't believe it's actually possible to wake somebody up. Nobody forced me to sit down and watch 160 documentaries in 3 months to have a categoric and geometric expansion in my knowledge of the world in order to facilitate myself waking up. Nobody did that. I did that to myself. And so thus, I don't believe that it's even possible for me to even go out and try and wake people up. However, once I was woken up, I found that it was incredibly traumatic. And I had to find some kind of a coping mechanism in order to deal with such information about scumbaggery and the New World Order or evil in general, whatever you really want to call it. And the intention of the show is to let you, the listener, know that you're not alone. Because that's one of the most horrible things that I felt when I woke up, and I was the only one who woke up within my circle of friends, is I felt really alone. And after doing this radio show, I realized, oh my God, I'm not alone at all. There's actually truthers and stuff everywhere just down the road from me and that kind of thing. And I was just linking up with people left, right, and center. It was amazing. And the second part of the show is to make you laugh, have a few cackles, have a few chuckles. I think there's an inherent energy within laughter that strengthens you and makes you... I'm not sure what to say. It makes you calmer. It makes you more relaxed. It makes you happier. And in so doing, it replicates that positive energy.
I believe that too. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because when there's two emotions. You're either in the love emotion or the fear emotion. And when you're... This laughter that you're talking about actually causes the endocrine system in the body to release happy hormones, if you want to call them that, or if you ever heard of a runner's high, endorphins that actually have a euphoric feeling in your body if you really focus in on that. And when you're negative, you have all the stressor hormones being produced. And therefore, it shreds your digestion. It causes upheaval inside your body, and you can't sleep and so forth. And when, it's your choice. It's really, Dr. Bruce Lipton's been talking about this for years, about the biology of belief. And if you haven't seen any of his videos, you really need to look at those, because how we believe really creates our reality. That's how powerful we are. People just have no idea about this. For the most part, I mean, I talk to people all the time. As I ask them, you know, you're creating your own reality by being, a grumpy bag like you are. Just turn your belief around. Let's be a little happy, because that's my coping mechanism, is, kind of making a little bit of fun. Because if I didn't, because I've known about all this crap going on since about 1978. There's a fine line. You can go either way when you know a lot of what's going on. And choosing to not let it get you down is very important. I mean, otherwise, I'd be a mass murderer, or you'd be like not able to cope with the negative side of things. I believe we need to be more on the lighter side of things to keep the balance, because there's too many people that are way negative, and there's a lot of people now waking up realizing, oh no, look at all this stuff going on. But in reality, it's been going on forever, just like you said before. You just didn't see it because you were living in a box.
Mm. Yeah, and Aristotle and all of these great Greek philosophers were debating 2,000 years ago. They were debating human nature and what makes us tick and all of that kind of stuff. You know what we're still busy debating 2,000 years later? Yeah. it's my conclusion that you can't figure out human beings, just in general, we're so complex that it's not possible for any human being to fully comprehend it. However, there are many things that you can gain understandings of, right? Like being afraid of stuff all the time, being alone all the time, being angry all the time ain't good for you. You know, very, very simple, basic realizations, I feel, have actually been the most powerful realizations throughout history. Keeping people in racially oppressive regimes isn't nice. Okay, so let's not have apartheid in South Africa. You know, that kind of thing. That's what is really strange about the human race. Although we're infinitely complex, it's the realizations that are so simple that are really the most profound.
There's a book called Biology of Aggression. If you haven't read that, it's basically saying telling what's going on today, keeping everybody at odds with each other, whether you're a man or a woman, or you're a Catholic or you're a Protestant, or you're a Republican or a Democrat, or you're a European or an African, a black, a white, a red, a blue. It's keeping this constant division. And my own analogy is, if I cut you and I cut me, we both leak red fluid. So we're all the same, and I call humanity as humanity. And I've been hearing this more and more from other people, that we're all human. We're all born on our home, the planet. So stop fighting. If everyone would just allow this simple fact that we're being controlled, societally engineered, if we would just stop all this nonsense and start embracing our humanity and our love for being alive on this planet, that group consciousness would change in overnight.
But there's a dualistic capacity within us, I've found, is we're capable of great compassion and great violence. And that's the choice we all have to make.
Very true.
I choose to be very compassionate, very empathetic, but also, it's to a limited point, don't you think? You know how the old saying is, you can't solve everybody's problems? And you see a lot of people out there with huge quantities of problems of their own, trying to solve everybody else's problems and just sinking deeper and deeper into their own social quicksand. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing a nice thing. Yeah, but bro, your life is messed up. All right? You're really unhealthy. You're really stressed out. You're really angry because you're helping everybody and they ain't helping you. You're not getting any reciprocation back on it, you know? keep your own house clean before you go out and start helping others clean theirs.
Yeah, that was an old saying. My grandmother used to say, you know, sweep your own doorstep first. Absolutely.
So can I ask you, what actually got you into this field of research in terms of body electrics? We've only got really about a minute or two for you to expand on it.
Oh, well,
Before the break comes.
Okay. How about 20 years of being very ill, unhappy, and I tried to leave here a couple times. It didn't work, and I was left with, now what? And a Native American friend of mine gave me a glass of tea that tasted really foul, but it took my asthma problems away, and I've never been able to breathe like that all in a matter of an hour after drinking this glass of tea. And that was the open door.
Wow, that's amazing, man.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this. I was telling my friend about this yesterday. My friend took a fall, a good 3-meter fall, landed on his head. Miraculously didn't crack his skull. No permanent damage or anything like that, just 3 stitches and he's away laughing. and, like, quite literally, because if I'm your friend and you're in hospital, I'm sitting there cracking jokes most of the time, you know, making you laugh, the Patch Adams method. And what was interesting is I took personal responsibility to be there sort of protecting him while he was in hospital because I knew that they'd try and push something on you, and he's one of those kind of people who can easily be pushed into things, you know, isn't really right. Aggressively defensive. So they tried to blood test him, which he didn't want. They tried to give him a tetanus vaccine, which he didn't want, and they tried to irradiate his skull using a machine, which he didn't want. So after taking a 3-meter fall and landing on your head, taking a liter of blood, giving you a live avian flu, a virus of some description, and bathing you in radiation is the mainstream medical way of doing things, right? No, thank you. No, thank you. When you put it like that, it makes a lot more sense, I think. All right, we're going into break now. So, I think the lesson that you can really take away from all this, ladies and gentlemen, is that your thoughts and your intentions are actually really quite powerful. And also, if you're trying to fix yourself, sometimes the people who are offering to fix you are the ones who will damage you most.
Amen.
We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rockefeller Foundation elevator music. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We're talking with my very special guest, Will Spencer from BodyElectrician.com. And apparently you have another website as well you were mentioning over the break?
Yeah, VibrantBees.com, which we've been 2 years solid now with reversing colony collapse disorder with the beekeepers that are using our products.
How interesting.
So taken
have you expanded into New Zealand at all? Because we have a massive beekeeping culture here, and I think my uncle actually was one of the pioneers of the bee industry here, and he got me to volunteer for it for a bit for him on one of his beekeeping farms, and I saw firsthand the collapse of all the colonies, all these, you know, there's like a box that's full of bees, like completely full of bees, just jam-packed, and then there's like 10 that are dead, like just absolutely dead. There's maybe a few bee skeletons left, and there's a mouse living inside it, or a cockroach or something.
Right.
It was extraordinary.
I'm looking to expand. We just, last week, were at the American Beekeeping Federation yearly conference, which is the second large event that we've been to with our product. We're just getting into the, we got the research and development down. We're ready to, we're marketing now. So we're doing it grassroots. So it's all about, you know, networking and getting right to the beekeepers themselves. I tried at the top. The United States Department of Agriculture basically laughed at me 4 years ago. Several scientists and researchers in the industrial, military, educational divisions in the universities laughed at me, tried to steal some of my formulas, and I determined that that wasn't the best. So I backstepped a little bit and got a couple of larger beekeepers to use my stuff and work out all the bugs over the last couple of years, and now we have success and we're rolling now. So this is where we're at now, is actually expanding our marketing now.
So exactly, do you know what's causing colony collapse? Because it's a big mystery, and I've heard theories as wide-ranging as cell phone towers disrupting the bees' kind of navigation system, so they can't find their way back to the hives, so they die out alone on the cold, and this varroa mite, like parasites or something like that. But nobody seems to be able to provide me a conclusive answer as yet.
Well, it's an accumulative effect. It's like all of the above kind of thing. You have the frequencies in the environment, the electrical smog. You have mineral deficiency and malformed protein in the pollen and in the nectar. You have pesticides. You have genetic modification. You have plants now that are genetically engineered to create pesticide in the pollen and in the nectar and inside the plant. So the bees then are bringing that crap back to the hive. It's their food source. So in these toxins are built right into the structure of their food. So in and of itself, you don't have a problem. But it comes back to the hive. And as you know, you've got 60,000 bees all bringing back just a little bit. And then you have this accumulative effect. So all of a sudden, one day, they all wake up going, holy buckets, it's really toxic in here. And now what? They all leave. So the electrical smog, the toxins in their environment, and the malnutrition food all leads to the inability to reproduce right, their homing instincts are compromised, their inability to keep their house clean because they're constantly bringing in more toxic elements. So it's this accumulative effect. Not everybody is experiencing this, I find out. The beekeepers that are away from agriculture, you know, I should say, away from the genetically modified conventional agriculture and pesticide use, they're off all by themselves. Like, I have a couple beekeepers that are solely in the woods. They have a 10-mile buffer around all their beehive yards. They don't have hardly any problems at all. And, of course, they're not feeding, you know, genetically modified high-fructose corn syrup. And they're doing things that are, you know, like, we keep our bees like that. We actually feed honey and pollen back to them. We never experienced any of that problem. The only problem we had this year was bear. We had a bear get into a hive and tear some hives apart, and that was our problem. So we didn't have any of the other bacterial or mites, because a healthy bee is like a healthy person. It repels the pesticides, the pathogens and the parasites. It's only when you get unhealthy or that you almost attract the diseases or the pathogens in the pair. They're there for a reason. Nature has a recycling event that takes place continually. If you're like a tree in the forest, as it begins to die, there'll be funguses start to grow on it. You see the toadstools and other things that start to grow on a tree. It's not dead yet, but it's ill and it's on its way out. And then it falls over. And then there's more of the bacterias and funguses that grow on it, and it breaks it down and recycles it for another life. We're no different. We're like moving trees. We're just, society is so unhealthy. I don't care if you're in New Zealand or if you're here in America or Europe, we have an epidemic of unhealthy. And so we're attracting all these pathogens and parasites as a result of the unhealthiness, because nature wants to recycle the stuff that's not healthy. So when you become healthy, you don't get these problems. They just go away. That's been my job, I took it upon myself to have this job is to figure out what's making you healthy, what it takes to make you healthy. And that's what I've done, and we've been doing it for quite a few years, and it works very well.
Well, see, there's also the other concerns. I don't know if you saw the kids' film B-Movie. It was starring Jerry Seinfeld, but one of the premises of it is that the bees had a revolt against humanity because they believed that humanity was enslaving them in order to get their honey and stuff like that. And they had a strike, a bee strike, global bee strike. And as a result of the strike, everything that was plant-based on the planet died, essentially, because without the bees pollinating everything, you got nothing.
Well, that is one of the other contributing factors, at least here in this country, is the moving of the bees around, the enslaving, if you will, because they put them on trucks, like 500 of them at a time, and they move them thousands of miles. So we're going to do, you know, we're going to go do the almonds, and then we're going to do apples, and then we're going to come over here and do blueberries, and they don't get to rest. You know, I mean, that's hard on them. They don't get to actually have a rest cycle, or they don't get to rest. They're just continually going and going and going, and their work environment is extremely toxic. So, you know, I mean, that's part of the problem too. It's just living and working in that unnatural environment like that.
Now, you're talking about coming back to what we started with, was about the human body and how it's electric and what have you. Does this extend to all living things? Is every living creature, insect to grizzly bear, an electric being too?
Absolutely. Everything has its own resonant frequency, even a rock. Minerals have a specific frequency, everything. That's why we were talking during the break. You noticed our the tab on our website, GSR Hand Scanner. That's actually a fairly new device that we've been using. And we're looking at up to 30,000 different frequencies. All the microorganisms have their own frequency, pathogens, parasites, petrochemicals, heavy metals. All your organs, your genes, your in your body all have different frequencies. Everything has its own resonant frequency. And when you can identify them, which the machinery we have today, we're able to capture and identify, and then we put that into a computer program that we can actually backfeed like sonar in through your hand into your body, which is 1950s technology, lie detector technology, and then pull back like sonar, just the depth perception, a response, a stress response, and the computer program is able to digest this information and give us back results on what's stressing your body and to what degree and then what to do about it. And we mail these scanners all over the planet, literally. I mean, from Japan to Australia to Europe to all over this country. And we're able to bring healthcare to you. That's what we've done with modern technology, yet based in old principles of how the body works, but on an electrical diagnostic level, if you will. It's fantastic. It's far more sensitive and more accurate than allopathic culturing things in a dish and all this other archaic stuff in allopathic medicine. I mean, you can't even compare the accuracy we have versus allopathic medicine nowadays.
Well, I see so many forms of what they call alternative treatments, and I don't like the word alternative for some reason. It makes it sound kooky or whatever. I'll tell you what's the real alternative. Okay, I'm a healthy person who suddenly discovers that hey, I'm actually not as healthy as I thought, and so I will pump my body full of copious quantities of massive toxins in chemotherapy that's produced by a mega death corporation that has shares in the oil cartels in order to make me better. That is the alternative to anything that's sane, in my opinion.
I'm catching my breath. I love it. I mean, how much truer is it? We are a natural body and a being that comes from the earth, and yet we're going to take synthesized synthetic compounds that have actually, my family used to have trucks and we would deliver things, and you would have to have a special license to haul pharmaceutical chemicals. You actually had to have a hazmat endorsement on your license, which is a special license to handle hazardous material that is actually going into the pharmaceutical drugs. So you're putting hazardous material into your body and calling it healthcare. Like you said, I say that's insanity.
Yeah.
I mean,
is it
insanity.
Allopathic or is it psychopathic or is it sociopathic? It's something pathic, that's for damn sure.
I'll just say I'll check the box that says E, all of the above, because it's all of that. I mean, you have to be, you know, insane, really, to think that putting a chemical into your body is going to make you something like better.
Mm.
And we're a natural being. We're no different than a tree, really. We have elements, amino acids and minerals that make me up or that make you up. And you're going to put uranium-235 in you thinking that that's going to help. Hello.
Yeah. And you were talking about how even a rock has its own resonating frequency. And I was going to make a joke saying that after all the depleted uranium shells, now a rock has its own frequency.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know what Iraqis give their wives on Valentine's Day? What kind of flower?
No.
Depleted geraniums.
Only on the Vinnie Eastman show.
Eastwood show.
Eastwood, you know, so
as in go, Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news.
Awesome.
It's pretty rough, actually. And it was interesting that you said earlier as well, you have to look on the lighter side. I mean, the tagline of the show is the lighter side of genocide. And it's just like things are really, really crazy. And I offend people constantly because I think I'm almost as crazy as the world is. The problem is I'm not a dangerous form of psychopathic crazy. I'm a happy-go-lucky, look on the bright side kind of crazy, which I think is a good form. To be what is it to be sane in this world? Okay, I want to go to university, be educated by people who don't know what the hell they're talking about, go get a job with people who don't give a frack about me in order to sell people products that damage them, in order to buy a house that's actually still owned by the government or the banks or something of that nature. That's sane, okay? But for somebody like me, who's elected to serve humanity, somebody like yourself, who's elected to do the greater good, regardless of the consequence, simply because it is the right thing to do and we can't live with the alternative, we're the ones who are nuts, apparently.
Yeah, so that's a relative definition there. I mean, who's really nuts? It's all in the perception or it's all in the belief, like we were talking about before. My belief is I'm doing the right thing. I think the psychopaths and their belief think they're really doing the right thing, too. Ask one of them. They really think that they're, you know, like injecting chemicals into your body is doing the right thing. They think, you know, that, you know, having these Fukushimas and all this other stuff, I mean, that's the right thing. I mean, that's, I really believe that. So, I mean, who's right and who's wrong? I mean, I'm not one to say. I just know what I'm doing.
Mm-mm. Well, I think we do have this this ability to discern truth from fiction in a way that much of the establishment educated people don't. For instance, they try to teach what's known as critical thinking, and I'm doing air quotes here, to people in university. And I've interpreted that after I got a D on one of my essays criticizing television with source notes and all of the reading material supporting my argument, and they gave me a D minus or whatever for it, and it dawned on me, these people aren't teaching critical thinking at all. They're teaching people to be critical of those who can think. And that's the real problem here. Is that if you can think, if you can be happy, if you can live life without destroying things, suddenly you don't fit the mold. And we're going to give you low marks and degrade you in so doing. We'll be right back. Ooh, yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. We're final segment here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And my very special guest, surprisingly awesome guest, Will Spencer. Actually, it's kind of unsurprising. I knew he'd be pretty awesome. Most of the people that bring on the show are. And in fact, that's something that I've noticed, Will, is that in this movement, particularly in this format on talk radio and stuff like that, you barely ever get to talk to people who are douchebags. You know? They just get purged from your life as soon as you decide to do things that are important and speak about things that really matter, and do the right thing, because it's its own web of sort of like it puts up a wall, right? And you and I and people like us who are into what I call just reality based thinking. The wall has been put us, and that kind of seals us off socially in a lot of ways from the rest of society, to the point where we've created almost a fortress of solitude that indeed protects us. And I believe in some cases it might not be such a good thing, because we become myopic if we only talk with people who agree with us. And we were talking over the break about how you got a gun pulled on you. Because you were trying to refuse hospital service or something like that. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, a while ago when my youngest son was born, this is before I knew a lot of stuff about health and whatnot. He was having breathing problems, so I went to the hospitals like midnight. And at the emergency room, and they pulled out all their things, what they were going to do, and I was looking at them, and I'm going, what? You're going to put this in my son? I said, this is industrial waste. So I picked my son up, and I headed to the door down the elevator and whatnot, and by the time I got to the door, there was a deputy standing there, and he had his hand on his gun, and I said, would you please step aside, please, because I need to go home. I have to figure out what I'm going to do with my son here. He says, no, you may go, but your son cannot. You came through these doors. It's like you're resisting care because you came through the door, so therefore you consented to whatever's going to happen in here. And you can leave, but your son can't. I says, no, you don't understand. You're in my way. Please move. I'm leaving. And he pulled his gun out. And he didn't point it directly at me at that particular point, but he had his hand, he pulled it out, and he goes, no, you don't understand. Leave your son if you're going to leave. And I said, well, what's the problem? He goes, there's actually laws here in this country, and this is a while ago, that is, it would be child abuse. There's actually a whole list of laws. He spewed it off that basically I would be endangering my son by leaving, by refusing their care.
It is illegal for any doctor anywhere to force somebody to take any treatment against their will.
You made a very good point there. The doctor is not the guy with the gun. The guy with the gun has a different set of rules. There's a line. There's a division there. You see, it's an oxymoron, or it's insanity. But the guy with the gun, there are certain rules. The doctor has a certain rules, and then there's this gray area. I could leave. My son could not, because I consented to whatever, because I walked through that door. You see,
you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of my Facebook status yesterday. Check this. Apparently, it's illegal to be part of a criminal gang. And I've got the link to the law in New Zealand legislation about how it's illegal to be part of a criminal gang. It's also illegal to enslave anyone using debt slavery or otherwise. And I've got the link to that as well. And then I said, I wonder if the police, government, or bankers have been made aware of this legislation.
Yeah, we live in so similar societies. It's the same here.
That's why they call it a new world order, you know? Name me a country that's exempt from the definition.
Let's create our own. That's all. It's, you know, that's what I want. Let's just create our own. I'm tired of that game. Let's just make another game.
Yeah. I mean, like we said at the beginning of the show, you know, how do you win a rigged game? It's to cheat. or just not to play. Kind of like the movie War Games. Have you ever seen that with Matthew Broderick?
No.
Is this an artificially intelligent computer who thinks that this war game is real, and it's running through scenarios of how you can make a nuclear war between the US or Russia successful. And it does all these scenarios and this kind of thing, and it's doing these scenarios sort of in real time, like if it wins the war game, it's actually going to start the nuclear war. And even the machine realized that nuclear war is a strange game. The only way to win is not to play.
Yeah.
And for somebody like me, it's actually quite a profound realization. There's so many things that we have to learn how to withdraw from. We've got to replace the water we drink. We've got to replace the air that we breathe. We've got to replace the food that we eat, that have all been contaminated. And in many cases, we have to replace the institutions that we live under, and we have to replace the servants within those institutions. Making a better world doesn't incorporate the old world that created the problems that we're currently dealing with. And the people who created those problems, their mentality will not solve any of the problems that they made. It's time to start again. I say it's like a computer. It's time to press the reset button. It's obviously fully infected with a virus. You know, there ain't no way it's going to correct itself. Let's start again.
You should be a preacher.
I am.
Yeah, I <know. laughs>
by proxy, you know. I have been down to the mountaintop, and I have seen the end of scumbaggery. I may not be there at the end with you.
Yeah, that's just what we're doing with healthcare, because it's we're actually helping people so they can be healthy again, rather than, you know, different degrees of illness and that they call health. Because, you know, just because you're not expressing symptoms, or, you know, you're not having something that's infected, pussing up and ready to fall off, they can't name it a disease or whatever. That's not, that's not health. Health is, vibrant health is something that's, you know, you don't even need that stuff. And unfortunately, today in this country anyhow, and I know your country is going down that road too, that our food chain is so, you know, we can't sustain just on food anymore. You have to supplement. It's inevitable. And that's really the basis of what we do here, is to help people get in that healthy state, because healthy people can think differently. Their free thinking is just like, it's a byproduct of being healthy. And you don't get sick. The pathogens don't cause you problems. So it's like you say, it's a different way of thinking.
Mm. Well, there's those who believe that we currently live in a toxic environment, and in my opinion, it's a multifaceted toxic environment. So you're toxified from the head down, basically. You know, your brain's full of toxic information, your mouth is full of toxic fillings, your food's toxic, your water's toxic, your the clothing that you wear is toxic. The air that you breathe, everything. And, you know, you could get really depressed if you were to think about all the problems going out there. But if you solve problems, no matter how small they are, one yep. little step at a time, you manage to stave off that real depressing reality, and actually, eventually, get rid of that reality and change it for the better. And I think people have forgotten that we really are capable of changing all this stuff just by making it happen. Like you said, you know, the intention is the thing that gives out the energy. If our intention is pure, I don't think there's anything that can stop our power.
I agree with that. Not at all. It's just like the Star Wars, you know, the Force be with you. Really.
All right. Like Yoda said, ladies and gentlemen, try not. Do or do not.
There is no try.
Amen.
It's time to stop messing around. Okay? Stop feeling the fear. Stop feeling the anger and the rage and all of that kind of stuff. But I don't know. If you're not feeling good, try something different and see if something changes. See if you feel better. And if the thing that you changed didn't make you feel better, try something else. You know, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again. It matters not. And I found that there's so many eclectic different areas of research, and you yourself personally. I mean, look at his website, ladies and gentlemen, bodyelectrician.com. There's things in there about fungal connections, GMOs and GEs, electrical systems, a GSR hand scanner, healthy diet, information and media, chelation therapy, and all of these kind of things. Unless we're capable of drawing from many, many, many different sources and disciplines of information and research, I don't think that we're ever really going to gain a deeper understanding of the way the world really works. And without a deeper understanding, there ain't really going to be any meaningful change, I don't think. Will Spencer, thank you very much for coming on the show today, man. It's been my honor and pleasure and various other nice adjectives.
Thank you very much, Vinny. Absolutely. We'll do it again, I'm sure.
Yeah, indeed. I'll talk to you just after the show and reschedule to come on again for a good 2 hours next time, I think. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. Just remember, tomorrow, the January the 20th, is the chemtrail protest both in Auckland and Hamilton at the top of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and the top of GorillaMedia.co.nz are the details for those protests. Hope you're there, and I also hope you subscribe for a dollar or something a month to help me keep doing what I'm doing. We'll see you again sometime.